All right. With that said, we are getting ready to turn it over to Brother Stephen Orell. He is our fearless youth leader, both he and Sister Vanessa Orell, who have been helping us tremendously with our young people. And Brother Stephen Orell has a word for us tonight. Brother Stephen.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. Go right ahead.
Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Looking forward to talking tonight, having a devotion. Really excited tonight. I feel good tonight. Had a good day at work in L.A. And was driving home and just talking to the Lord. A little bit more traffic on the way home. I can usually get home in about 30 minutes. It took almost an hour, but I was taking that time to just to pray and ask God to, you know, give me something to share to the church tonight. And there's a lot of things that we can say during this time, but I really wanted to get some fresh manna from the Lord for His people in the church, something that would be encouraging, something that would be strengthening during this time. And I've really been enjoying all the devotions that have been going on. Appreciate our pastor and Sister Clark. We love them. So we're going to get right into the word of the Lord with this devotion. If you can turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to start with verse 1. And we're going to talk about the difference between a cave and a tower. A cave and a tower. A cave and a tower are two places that you can run to during times of distress. You can run to a cave during times of storm or time of temptation. You can run to a tower. And I'm going to talk about the difference between a cave and a tower. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1, we're talking about Elijah. Elijah just got done preaching to all of the prophets and saying, this is the God that answereth by fire. And we know the story that God answered by fire and ate up the water and ate up the sacrifice, and He answered by fire and did a miracle that day. Right after that miracle, after that victory that he had, in verse 1, chapter 19, it says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he had saw that, he arose, Elijah, and went for his life and came to Bathsheba." So this mighty prophet, mighty man of God, is just like you and I. He has his highs, he has his lows, and he was on top of the world one day, and now he's running for his life from Jezebel. And it says that he came to Bathsheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. He was by himself now, verse 4, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And we can see the progress here, that he was up high one day, running the next day, and then he was by himself. And there's times in our life, saints of God, that we're gonna be down, we're gonna be discouraged, and we're gonna want to be alone. But we need our brothers, we need our sisters, we need one another. If you're down, if you're lonely, don't just be by yourself and go to that place of a cave. And then we find Elijah here pushing away his servant, and he's getting to the place where he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord," end of part, verse 4, take away my life. Getting to the place where he's just saying, it's enough. It's enough. I can't take it anymore. Just take my life. For I am not better than my father's. Verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and the cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And here we see the Lord being merciful. Thank God for the mercy of God. And we just say it's enough, and frustrations of life come upon us, that God in his mercy will do miracles. And he fed him, and he gave him water, and he gave him rest. Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came hither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what dost thou hear, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah, in this cave? In verse 10, and he said, I have been very jealous. The Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Verse 11, he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and broken pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out of his cave, and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what dost thou hear, Elijah? What are you doing in this cave, O man of God? What are you doing in this cave, hiding away from the world? And sometimes we find ourselves in a place, in a cave. I'm talking about a difference between a cave and a tower. When frustrations of life come upon us, church, sometimes we just want to hide away. We want to get alone. We don't want to be around anyone. We're frustrated. Maybe we have anxiety. We want to get alone. And we know our weaknesses, church. I know my weakness. You know your weakness. Whatever it is that you find yourself struggling with, don't go into that cave. The cave represents sin. It's a place where I'm just frustrated with life. I can't take it anymore. It's enough. You just want to get away from everybody and everything and go into the cave. It may be a dark room where you close everyone out and you're in pitch darkness. And it may be a day, a week, 2 weeks. You find yourself in that cave of sin. Whatever you're struggling with tonight, let's not go into that place of depression. Time I wasted my energy just hiding away from life. But God, thank God for the word of God, prods us and says, what are you doing in their cave? Come out, thou man of God. What are you doing here? And sometimes it's not going to be, like in this scenario, an earthquake. It's not going to be in a fire. It's not going to be in a loud voice, but the still, small voice of God that whispers in our ear, in our cave, in our depression, in our anxiety, in our frustration. We know the Lord is whispering to us. You know, the Lord is talking to us and trying to get us out of that cave. And in verse 14, I'm going to skip down a little bit. Verse 14, he said, again, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. He's making excuses here. Because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword, and I, even I only, am left, and seek my life, and take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king of Syria. I'm talking about a difference between a cave and a tower. We know that thoughts are very powerful, that there's a saying in a parable, sow a thought, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. We know if we sow a thought to think about something, and it could be good or bad, we sow a thought about what we're going to do, thinking about something, we're going to end up doing an action upon that thought. Sow a thought, reap an action. We're going to act upon that thought, church. And when we act upon that thought, we're going to sow a habit. And once we sow a habit, it becomes a habit in our life. That thought became an action. That action is now a habit in our life. That habit will become a characteristic in our life. And eventually, the character that we develop or the habits that we form because of our actions, the thoughts that we think, are going to end up, we're going to be reaping our destiny. We know there's only two destinies in this life. The destiny where our soul is going to end up is either in heaven or in hell. It all comes down to our actions and our thoughts. Our thoughts will produce actions that will lead us down a road to heaven or hell. And I want to encourage someone tonight. I want to encourage myself in the Lord. And when we find our place that we're frustrated, we're angry, we don't know everything that's going on, let's not go to that cave of sin. Let's not go to that cave of depression and find ourselves going back to sin and back to addiction and back to, I'm just going to go in my cave for a little bit. I'm just going to go in there for a little bit. I'll come out and I'll be okay. I just want to go into this cave. I don't want to be around anyone. I just want to be in this cave for a little bit. Instead of going to that cave of sin, going to that cave of depression, anxiety, let's go to that high tower, church. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. We don't have to go. If you find yourself in a place of anxiety and depression and just wanting to get away from the world, sometimes it's normal just to want to get away. But it's where we go. We can go to that refuge, that strong tower, which is the name of the Lord. We can climb up in that tower, and we can hide away for a little bit in prayer, and climb up in that tower, and look down at all of our problems, look down at all of our situations that are mounting up upon us, and we can be with the Lord, church. We can talk to God. We can get a hold of Him. We are who we are supposed to be when we pray. We are who we are made to be when we're talking with the one who made us. There's nothing more encouraging. There's nothing more strengthening. There's nothing more fulfilling than going to that place, that tower in God, and climbing up in that tower and getting a refuge, getting a breath, and getting a breath in the world, and getting a relaxation moment, a time. I could just take a breath from life. I could take a breath from the world. And find our place that we're with God. He's talking to us, and He's telling us what we need to be, and everything can be aligned again with Him, walking parallel with God. Sometimes I find myself, church, that I'm walking away, and I'm getting off track a little bit, but when I go back in that tower, God's like, okay, come a little bit closer. Come a little bit parallel with me. I want to be parallel with His Word. I want to be parallel with His anointing. Oh, the Lord's so good, church. Psalm 61 and 3 says, Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower for the enemy. Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Verse 6, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttereth his voice, the earth melted. Skipping down in chapter 46 and verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, church. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Oh, I find refuge in this church tonight in the Word of God, that just to be still and know that I am God, that He has everything in His hands. He has everything in control. And I just need to be still and know that God is still on the throne. You can turn to Isaiah 26 and 3. This verse has, I memorized this verse probably when I was 16 or 17. I was going through a hard time in my life. And it just seemed like problems were rising left and right. And I remember finding this verse, church, Isaiah 26 and 3. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And it's interesting because it doesn't say just peace, but perfect peace, complete peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Our minds are going to be stayed on God, because our minds are stayed on God, and not our problem, and not our situation, not the things that are going on in our life, because we trust in Him, we trust in God, and because our minds are stayed on Him and not our problems. Our minds are stayed on Him, not the things that are going on around us. He said He's going to keep us in a state of perfect peace, church. That's exciting. That through all the things that are going on, I can be still, and I can step back for a moment and take a breath and say, God, I'm going to get my mind on you, Lord. I know I have to deal with this situation. I know this thing is going on in my life, and it's right before me, and it seems like it's just surrounding me. And if you find yourself in that place, church, that this problem is just right in front of you, just be still and say, God, I'm going to get my mind on you, Lord. And because my mind is going to be stayed on you, Jesus, you're going to keep me in perfect peace. There is a peace that passeth all understanding, church. I remember reading this as a little boy. We've all heard the verse. That there is a peace that passeth all understanding. This is the peace that God is talking about. This is the perfect peace that God can keep us in. And our minds are tricky, because our minds will tell us, especially men, we like to fix things. All the men out there, we like to work on things. We like to solve problems. And as soon as a problem arises, I want to fix it. I'm a plumber by trade. I see something wrong, I want to fix it. I want to do good. I want to fix it right away. But some problems can't be fixed right away. Some things take time, and I want to analyze it. I want to look at it from every angle. We like to fix things right away. But some things aren't a math problem to solve. Some things take time. And our minds will tell us that we have to think about our problems and analyze them from every angle. And when we can't figure them out, we get frustrated and angry. That's when I need to step aside and say, God, I need you to figure this out, God. I need you to figure out this situation, Lord. I need to climb up into your tower, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I can't fix everything myself. We can't fix everything right away. We can step back and say, God, it's in your hands, Lord. It's in your hands, God. And sometimes our mind will even trick us and try to say, well, you're not working on this problem. You're not being responsible. And you have to work on this problem. Our minds will tell us, and the devil will nag at us and say, because you're not working on this problem, you're not being responsible. There's a difference between trusting in God and believing in Him to work our problems out and not being responsible. There's a fine line between when we've done all we can, it's time to stand on His word. When I've done everything I can, God, and I'm trying to take care of every situation in my life, and maybe there's a problem that I even caused myself, when I've done all I can do then is stand on Your word. And because my mind is going to be stayed on You, You're going to keep me in a state of perfect peace. And if there's someone that's listening tonight, and you're feeling that anxiety, and you're feeling that overwhelming problem of life that's crushing down around you, say, God, I'm going to get my mind on You right now. I can push what I'm working on aside. If it's bills, if it's finances, yes, there's a time to be diligent. In the morning, we can work on it. But right now, God, I'm going to push it aside. I know I got to work on some problems. I got to work on some situations. But for 5 minutes right now, I'm going to touch You, Jesus. I'm going to get a hold of You right now, God. Oh, thank You, Jesus. 1 Peter 1:5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I love this verse. I love this verse. It says we are kept, church. God's going to keep us. God's going to hold on to us. He's able to keep us by the power of God, not by some measly power or authority, but by the power of God. He's able to keep us through faith unto salvation. Oh, if you're worried tonight and thinking, how long can I hold on with everything that's going on? How long can I keep the Holy Ghost? How long can I hold on before I mess up and sin or backslide? Oh, we can find strength today. Say, God, You're able to keep me. You're able to keep me, not by my power, my God, but by Your power. You're able to keep me, not just for a day, not just for a week, not just for a month or a year, but You're able to keep me all the way unto salvation, church, all the way until that trumpet sounds, or until we die a natural death. He's able to keep us in His hand, church. He's able to keep us in His power. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for us, church. It's amazing to think that God Almighty spoke the sun, the moon, the stars, and the universe into existence. He said, let there be, and there was. That same God cares for us, cares for you tonight. And it could be something so small. I'm always encouraged when I've always heard Brother Sanders, our dear Brother Sanders, that he would be mowing his lawn and he would be praying. And for the smallest things, he would pray for his lawn, for the tiniest things, but God would hear his prayer. And every time he testified about something like mowing his lawn or doing other things, it would encourage me. Is the walk of God that he had was an example for all of us. I want to pray like Brother Sanders prays for the small things, the little things. So I know my God cares for me, and our God cares for us, and He cares about what we're going through. So if we find ourselves frustrated with life, let's just be still and know that God is on the throne and He has everything in control. God bless you, church. I love you tonight. We love you. And thank you for listening.
Thank you, Brother Stephen. Thank you. You know what, church? Why don't we right now, there's a few things I want to say, but before we do, why don't we just, this anointing that we're feeling as Brother Stephen has been giving this devotion from his heart, why don't we just thank God right now? Why don't we just, wherever you are, if you want to stand up, you want to close your eyes, let's raise our hands right now. Thank God for this anointing and this for this great message we've heard tonight. Church, we are safe. We are safe in His hand. Thank You, Jesus, for keeping us safe, Lord God. No matter what comes our way, Lord, in this situation, You're teaching us how to trust in You, Lord God. We thank You for it, God. We give You the honor, the glory, and the praise. Gracias, Señor Jesús, por mantenernos en sus manos, Señor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Once again, thank you, Brother Stephen Orell. What a great message we heard tonight. And one of the things that I appreciate about Brother Stephen is the way he tells a story explaining every detail in such a simple manner. It's so simple to understand. And the message tonight was very simple. Don't go down into the cave, but go up to the tower of salvation. Praise God. And, you know, as he was speaking tonight, I couldn't help but to remember many things we've been hearing in the last couple of weeks. People have been sending in messages, text messages, and testifying about the devotions and how the devotions have been a great blessing. Just today, we got a testimony from Brother Tony explaining how these devotions have been uplifting and vital for him and for others. And Brother Roseberry sent a message after the devotion this morning from Sister Cindy, saying how much he appreciated Sister Cindy's devotion. And I wrote this down. I hope he's okay with me saying this, that he is provoked to take a fresh look at that chapter, meaning the chapter that Sister Cindy read from the book of Matthew. And church, we hope that this is provoking you as well to get into the Word of God, read and study the Word of God. The Lord wants to speak to us through His Word. Praise God. With that said, we want to remind everybody once again that we will be back on this line tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. to hear Sister Sanders give us her devotion in the morning. Praise God. And with that said, we wish you a great night. God bless you, and we'll see you once again in the morning. God bless you.